I'm invisible. You can't see me. I don't know why I've been singing that song for the past 20 minutes. The person across the courtyard from the room we're recording in just saw us recording and slowly lowered the blinds.
So I don't want to hear this.
I don't want to see whatever nonsense this is.
Well, hello. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Kira.
I'm Cody.
And this is Halloweeners, a horror movie podcast. We're going to be talking about the Invisible Man.
1933.
Of 1933. Where were you?
Where was I?
Yeah.
My grandpa wasn't even born yet. I was really? Nothing. Nope.
Oh, my setta, well, she's dead now, but she was born in 1922.
So oh,
she
my
was,
God.
Maybe she saw this. I don't think she saw this in the cinema. Nah.
At 11 years old. Too scary.
Too scary. This was a very fun movie to watch.
I loved it.
I didn't expect to have so much fun.
No.
But yeah, this was my first time watching it, and I really liked it, honestly, right off the bat.
I've seen it before, and I remember my biggest takeaway being, oh, he's like naked this entire movie. And well, that's scandalous in the 30s. I know you don't see anything, obviously. He's invisible. But in order to be invisible, he has to take off all his clothes.
He's naked and barefoot, which is a weird combination. I mean, yeah.
Outside naked. Right, right.
In the winter.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't want that. I'd rather be naked and wearing shoes than wearing clothes and barefoot outside.
Oh.
Mm, do I stand by that statement? I don't know.
I don't know. No, I'd rather wear clothes and be barefoot. Well.
Well.
Yeah, I'd rather wear clothes
and be barefoot. A lot of things happen in the city.
I know.
Hurt you.
And some a lot of, your feet, they gotta be warm.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it's like how you kind of keep your head covered.
Yes, yes.
It's like the heat escapes.
You lose all the heat escape. Mm-hmm.
The heat runs away.
You lose all the heat escape. What does that mean, Cody? I won't tell you. This is your first time watching it?
Yeah.
I liked it.
It really starts right away. Like, we get right into it.
Yeah.
But before
He's
already invisible. Yeah. And he's already getting mad.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about movies?
We've watched? Oh my god, right! It's been so long. I have the format of the show.
Also, I will say, before we get into previous movies we watched, one of the reasons I wanted to do The Invisible Man was just because we were gone for a hot minute.
Oh.
And the going through the winter. Yeah, going
hosts.
Through the winter sadness. You know, we all feel a little invisible, some would say.
Kira.
So that's what, you know.
So smart of you.
And also, we wanted to do something old.
Old. It's been a little bit.
Old.
I don't remember the last time we did a black and white movie, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Let's see. Scary movies I've seen.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Oscar-y movies lately because I have for the website I write for, watch all the nominees. So it's been a lot of like documentaries and such. The scary movies and the Oscars don't really intersect, unfortunately. But one of the nominees for best cinematography is called El Conde. It's a Chilean film. It is a vampire movie. About what's his name? Pinochet, who was I don't have a great knowledge of the inner workings of Chilean modern history and politics, but I believe a dictatorial leader of Chile for the better part of the 20th century.
Okay.
Or for a good part of it. And this film presupposes that he actually was a vampire from, like, a century before, who was always, like, doing his best to, like, gain, like, evil power.
Okay.
And, like, this is just one of his other, like, one of his many schemes. And now he's, like, several hundred years old, and he wants to die, but his family keeps, like, keeping him alive. And they're like, no, we have to, like, the family bloodline has, like, passed down. It was good. It sounds complicated.
No, but
it was
it's very interesting.
It was very cool. It was, like, a very cool twist on, like, vampire stories, because it's taking, like, it's like a historical fiction. You know, it's taking a real person and being, like, that politician you didn't like, who, like, ruined our country, he actually was a literal monster, like, in the very literal sense of the word. But I think that's pretty cool.
No, that's very cool, and I gotta check that out.
And then I was at Sundance in January.
Yes.
And, you know, usually Sundance is a good place for me to see new horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the Sundance before, last year, in 2023, I saw Talk to Me, which is that New Zealand, Australian movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That movie was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this really cool, like, Frankenstein-y movie called Birth, Rebirth. Usually there's a good horror. I did not find that this year's Sundance, unfortunately.
Oh.
Mostly because I didn't really see a lot of horror being offered. Like, it wasn't really, like, even an option. But one of the best movies I saw at the festival was called I Saw the TV Glow.
Yes, okay, I've heard of that.
You've heard of this? Mm-hmm. It was so good. It is, like, to call it scary or moody, it's like kind of a disservice because it's so many different tones.
Okay.
It's about like a kid who's growing up in the 90s and he meets a girl who, and they both are obsessed with the same TV show that's kind of, it's called The Pink Opaque, and it's kind of like Buffy meets X-Files meets Twin Peaks.
Okay.
And it's all like filmed in this like 90s style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about this boy and girl who meet each other through this shared weird TV show. Mm-hmm. And like, it's obviously like a, not obviously, but it is a queer like coming out metaphor basically.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets really weird, really fucking weird. And there's some visuals in this that gave me like full body chills.
Oh my God.
Because they were so unsettling and like scary. And like the movie wasn't something I would say is like the scariest I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like two or three moments that are like up there for me. Like, really freaky shit. So, I think that's coming out in May. I highly recommend it.
Okay,
yeah, cool. Some good shit. How about you?
Recently, I rewatched Thanksgiving, because it's on Netflix.
Fun.
Because I asked John if he, you know, I said, hey, if you ever want to watch it and that's on Netflix, let me know. I'll happily watch it with you. And immediately I went, actually, I want to watch
it. I'm
going to
watch it.
Right now.
Yeah.
So, whether you want to or not. Still funny, still silly.
That opening scene is so fun.
So I actually didn't want, I was like, once it started, I kind of did that thing where I was like, let me go in the kitchen and get, you know, I like wasn't fully mentally prepared for the chaos that ensues in the beginning.
Scalpings.
Yeah, scalping tramplings. And being trampled. Even though it is silly and I think it is well done. Mm-hmm. It's still, anyway.
Being trampled is scary to me.
I know. Well, I don't
it's
know
like nobody's
helping
me.
I know. It's so scary. So scary. I watched a movie called It Comes at Night.
Yes.
Which is scary adjacent. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I guess I just feel kind of indifferent about it.
I saw it years ago, like when it came out, and I was like ready for it to be kind of a like A24 mm-hmm. Babadooky. Like very mm-hmm. like, that's a bad example. It Follows is a better example. Like a slow pace, sure. Like doesn't really show you the scary thing horror. And I remember being just kind of bored. Like I would watch sure. it again, but it just didn't do anything for me.
It reminded me, and I think it's the same actress. It reminded me of The Lodge in the sense where it's like, this is very, like the environmentally, this is scary because of the situation they're in. And the ending is just very like hopeless. Did you see The Lodge? I feel like we've talked about The Lodge.
It is the same actress. Good job.
Yeah. Isn't she?
Good job.
She's
Elvis's granddaughter.
What's her name?
Riley Keough.
How?
How is that? She is Lisa Marie's daughter.
Oh. Who's the father?
Not Michael Jackson. Somebody named Keough, I'm guessing, because her name is Riley,
wow.
Riley Keough.
Oh.
Hello.
I guess we're not her bibliographer.
I'm not. Biographer?
Biographer. It's because she passed, Lisa Marie. Right?
She did, and her mother, Priscilla, has outlived
still
her.
Alive, yeah.
Which I always find very, very upsetting.
Yeah, that's
generally, but yeah.
So yeah, I mixed feelings about it. I don't... It Comes at Night. I mean...
We should be so lucky.
I also watched... Last thing, kind of thriller, action-y science fiction. I watched 65 with Adam Driver.
Oh, the dinosaur movie.
Yeah, which, by the way, we all know it's about dinosaurs, and I feel like the main gag was, like, the
There's
reveal
dinosaurs.
That he's on Earth, and I was like, no, I know exactly what he's getting into.
Oh, like a Planet of the Apes kind of thing?
No, it was, so it's in a long time ago, in a galaxy very close to ours.
Yeah, okay.
He's on a space mission going to, like, another, I'm not joking, bitch.
I believe
he's going, he's, like, captaining a ship, and it's, like, a two-year mission, and they accidentally go off course and shit goes wrong and he like crashes into Earth and he's like, I don't know where this is, like all of his fancy computer gear is like,
mm-hmm.
this is uncharted territory, and then he sees a giant
it's just like shrug emojis.
Yeah, he's like, he does the Kevin James like, I don't know, I'm just
I wish
out
I could
of
help you.
Yeah. And he sees a giant like dinosaur footprint and then it goes 65.
Oh, that's stupid.
Million years ago.
Shut up.
yeah. So I was like, no. But I did, a part of me I didn't think would happen. I felt really bad for the dinosaurs because it shows the big meteor.
Oh no.
The big asteroid. And I was like, that must have been a really scary day for them.
I read something that like there was a huge time lapse between the meteor landing and the dinosaurs actually dying out.
Tell me about that.
There was like another like several thousand years between the meteor and the dinosaurs dying.
Oh, did it just like harsh the vibe?
Shit got like really sad.
Yeah, they're just
the party went on way too long. We're all tired.
Because my understanding was like it just messed everything up.
Meteor. How do I Google this?
Oh my gosh.
Meteor.
And dinosaurs dying.
And dinosaurs extinction.
But even still, like, how can we ever be sure?
Holy moly. Dinosaurs died off about 33,000 years after an asteroid hit the Earth.
So then why?
Much sooner than scientists had believed. So that's, they're like, oh my god, so close, so recent.
So it wasn't even like,
I wouldn't even blame the asteroid.
Yeah, it was just like their
She's
time.
Like, that was so long ago and you're still blaming me for that? Are you kidding me?
You're still talking about her?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
33,000 years?
Honestly, I did not, who knew? You did, because you just told me.
I that's just crazy.
I still feel bad for them.
So the Invisible Man.
So 1933.
33. Mm-hmm.
James Whale, mm-hmm. director of Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein.
Homosexual.
And probably more. Yeah. Homosexual. Who? Una? Is that her
Una
name?
O'Connor.
O'Connor. She was in Bride of Frankenstein.
Memorably.
As...
Like
Village tavern
lady.
Wench, and she plays the same role in this movie, yep. God Bless America.
It's a lot of like,
a
which
lot
is
of
like great.
Big movements. At one point she goes, boop, like, just, he like tells
she
her to go
like,
fuck herself,
yeah.
And she's like,
oh. It's like a cut to Queen and Untucked, going like, ooh.
It's drinking it, hands. It's almost Jim in the office looking at the camera.
Yes. Jim got almost. This from her. Jim wishes.
The Office, more like The Invisible. Well,
squinting.
You know, they can't all be winners.
Squint to my eyes.
But I guess...
I love her.
She's great.
Claude Rains plays The Invisible Man, although you do not see her until the last shot of the movie.
And he looks good in that last shot.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he's supposed to be dead,
I mean,
but...
he better look good. The one time you're going to see my face in the movie, you better doll me up. Like, I want to be beat.
He has...
With an inch of my life.
He has the lashes on.
He has a fresh pump.
Oh, yeah.
All-Stars lips. tape pulling the face
tucked
back.
And pulled.
Yes. Yanked and cranked.
But he has such a commanding vocal
yes.
range, and like he really like serves it.
Well, he really like serves it. What I was thinking while I was watching it was like, oh, I love that this is obviously mono because like that's how sounds record. We don't stereo yet for like movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's mixed, when there's like dialogue from him when you can't see him, when he's, one might say, invisible,
mm-hmm.
it's mixed like it's coming out of like the entire speaker, so you can't mm-hmm. like place where he is on the screen. I feel like he's like just commanding the film.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
Yeah. I think it would be kind of interesting, actually. And maybe this already exists, and I just don't know about it. If there was, like, an audio remastered version where, like, you know, if you heard it on speakers, like, when he was invisible, like, you would hear him in, like, one side and then the other, or, you know, back here. You know, that would be kind of fun to play with those.
Well, I haven't seen this since it was in theaters, but the 2020 version with Elizabeth Moss.
Love her. I mean, let me take that back.
Love her.
I love
Don't
that
love
version.
Her beliefs.
Yeah. I
love
that movie.
Her beliefs. Hate her talent.
Well, the her I was referring to was the film, not the person.
Yes. But the movie had really good sound design, and it was like that. It was like, where is he? He's all around us. That movie's really good.
I like it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk. One day.
The Invisible Man.
That was like the last movie I saw in theaters, and then COVID was like 2 weeks later.
Which, by the way, happy anniversary. We could have gotten a bachelor's
God damn,
degree.
Literally almost
in the time.
Like a week from now. I think about that a lot.
I know.
I'm always doing the math.
I know.
I'm always doing the
and
math.
And I'm just starting to pay off my loans now.
Hey.
So if anyone wants to pay me to.
Because they just unpaused the.
My
whatever.
Dick. What?
They like just unpaused the loan.
That and yeah, they unpaused it, and I had been doing like forbearance for so long, and it's like, I just got.
I know a lot of people are like, I'm just not going to pay them because, like, who knows if they'll pause it or just forgive it in, like, 2 years and I'm going to, like, have, like, wasted money.
With The Invisible Man, the remake, he's very much villain from the get-go. But I would say in this version of The Invisible Man, he's a jerk.
He's a dick.
But I think there are, like, certain, well...
You know, if you start
maybe
the movie...
Maybe he's not as friendly.
Yeah, if you start the movie yelling at, like, service workers.
Yeah. And, like, being, like, not saying thank you.
Yeah. She brought you mustard that she forgot.
Also...
And you yell at her?
Listeners, if anyone happens to know, like, the specific history of it, I want to know why we don't have inns and taverns anymore. In this movie, it starts off in, like, an inn tavern. There's, like, people at the bar hanging out. The bar flies. And, what's the character's name? John...
Griffin.
Jack Griffin.
Yeah.
Jack? Jack, Jack. And so, yeah, he goes in and he's like, I want to get a room and I want to get a meal brought up and don't bother me. I love that. I mean, not the don't bother me stuff. Yeah, but getting a meal in a room.
My God. The service.
My God. Pay the woman.
You don't know what she got till it's gone. Do they have this all in England, do you think? Any listeners?
Wait, what was your question?
Yes, because Una O'Connor and was like, hello!
But then I feel like they mentioned something about France. Oh, you know what they didn't? All it was the woman who was running from the severed pants. She was, I thought, it sounded like she was screaming, Madame, Madame.
Oh.
So unless she was like, goddamn.
Goddamn.
She was like, that's a fine pair just of pants. These pants.
What do you have inside of them?
You got those invisible balls. Gross.
Okay.
Love the cops in this movie, by the way.
They are bumbling.
The, what is this all about? Oh, what's that then? Like, just the working bulbies. At their own pace, not listening to people.
No, they kind of just meander around the town, like, waiting for somebody to be like, help.
And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We got 5 men already out. I can't help you right now.
They got the chin straps not under their chins, kind of like dangling under their lip.
So funny.
Weird.
I guess we're just kind of talking through the plot.
Yeah, so he is a scientist, and he found out a way to turn invisible using, like, the properties of a plant.
Sugar, spice, everything nice.
Of course. Chemical X. But the thing is, but the T, the gag of the season, is that he was using an outdated textbook that hadn't been updated to be like, oh, after they started using this thing in experiments on dogs, they started going crazy.
Yeah.
And so he missed that part.
And so he's like, he cool, just be invisible.
Yeah.
Stay totally chill.
And then he's like, he starts like getting really power hungry. It was kind of strange, but I don't really care.
I thought you were going to say it was kind of hot. I'm so sorry to have judged you.
I mean, the looks in this movie.
The he looks.
He pulls it pictures. Together. Yes.
Well, because
he's got these bandages, and then he wears this robe a lot that has, like, these really striking different color inner collars.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has these sunglasses that are, like, they cover his eyes. But then there's also side, frames. Like, panels. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's that, so cunty.
So it's, like, it's almost like goggles.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It looks good. And then whenever he takes the bandages off, too, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, seeing the thing unravel around, like, his non-existent head with his wig.
Do you know how they did that?
Tell me.
So, apparently, I did very little research. It was just a matter of Claude Rains was basically wearing black fabric, was wrapped in black fabric, and in front of black fabric.
Okay.
It was black velvet.
Yeah.
Sorry, I heard the song in my head. Black velvet! Oh, yeah, so Claude Rains was, like, basically covered in black velvet, and he was in front of black velvet, and then, like, he took the clothing off in front of the velvet, and then I think... Maybe it was a matter of rotoscoping to get it on top of, you know, so it looks like...
Okay, yeah.
And
it's
then
amazing that we're talking about a movie that's almost 100 years old, and I'm like, how do they do that?
I mean, there are scenes where he's, like, lighting a cigarette. There's scenes where, like, he's dancing around the room, and it's just the clothes. Or he's in the mirror. I think that alone had to be, like, at least 4 different shots, because it's himself looking at his own reflection.
Oh, my God.
And he's also becoming invisible because he's unraveling his own head.
His own head. Where that I could.
I love unraveling my own head. Yeah, it's so... I would love be saying it's cunty.
It's cunty. I would be freaking out in a theater if I saw this in the 30s.
I know. 1933, you're like, wow. So I'm guessing this was after Frankenstein.
I think it is the same year.
Wow. Can you imagine being like, hey, I like kind of the ooky spooky stuff. I feel like there isn't too much of it.
Right. And James Whale was like...
I got you, queen.
Girl, sit your ass down and watch what I'm going to give you. And let me serve.
And let me serve to the children.
James Whale. I love whenever the props are floating. Okay, Frankenstein's 31.
Oh, that's right.
He is in his absolute golden era right now because it's Frankenstein 31. This movie that's also very good and funny and queer called The Old Dark House, like a haunted house movie, but it's like kind of goofy. That's 32.
Okay.
Invisible Man's 33, and then Bride is 35. So it's like just banging them out,
just
nailing it. Oh, and he directed Showboat. That's weird.
What?
He said, I got all that spooky shit on my system. Let me make a fucking musical.
Good for him.
Yeah. The special effects are amazing. I love whenever he's just pants jumping around. There's one scene where he's wearing just pants that he stole off a policeman. And he's skipping down a lane. It's so... gay in both senses of the word. Like, it's homosexual and queer, but also, like, joyous. And there's joie de vivre and frivolity to it.
Yeah, though. Mm-hmm. He's kind of free, I guess, for a minute.
Yes.
Okay, that does remind
interesting me. That to be free, you have to be able to not be seen or perceived.
So this and thinking of another James Whale movie, the first Frankenstein film, it's about a scientist who's a little kooky, a little misunderstood, and he is, like, purposefully taking time away from his wife. And they're like, what kind of man takes time away from his wife? Why doesn't he want to hang out with her? And so I can't help but wonder if these characters are a little queer-coded. They're outsiders. Yes. They're trying to, you know...
They're trying to, like, build something in man's image that is different from the usual world. Like, in Frankenstein, yeah. It's like, I'm going to construct a man. In this, mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to turn myself into something different and use that as a source of power rather than something to fear.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, not fear himself. Like, others will fear me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these characters do have, well, maybe not so much Frankenstein's monster, but definitely the Invisible Man had, you know.
She's a diva.
She had her moments, mm-hmm. You know, where she was.
She throws things.
She's a little flamboyant at times.
Again, fabulous dresser.
Oh, it would be more like Dr. Frankenstein, because he also, Colin Clive?
The actor?
Yeah.
I think so.
He's also a diva, it feels. In the best way.
He's also a diva.
If anyone is listening for the first time, these are truly not literal senses of the word. We mean in the sense of, like, serving it with, like, a slight feminine rage.
Doesn't say on Wikipedia about Colin Clive, but
let me see this. Show me the picture. I'll tell you.
This man?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Colin Clive.
This man? Yes, I mean, I think James Whale is one of those directors who, like, I'm kind of pulling this out my ass, but, like, I think later in life it was, like, he was like, yeah, I was always putting gay shit in my movies and, like, hiring gay actors.
Yeah.
And I think this is no different. It definitely has a queer sensibility, like I said. The kind of shirking of marital roles.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To create your own world.
Mm-hmm.
He hates cops.
He's a bitch.
I mean, he kind of, like, stonewalls them. Like, he, like, knocks them over and stuff.
Stonewall?
Literally.
Nobody died?
Nobody died? Unlike in this movie, where a lot of people die.
Well over 100 people.
Yes. Total body count is 122. 4 murders depicted directly on screen.
Oh my God.
18 search party members off screen. I don't remember that. And the derailment of a trail, which results in 100 deaths.
Insane. You heard them screaming.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't expect the screaming.
You heard them screaming and then they fell in a river. They are dead.
Yeah, not just like, oh, they're dead. They're
and
like,
that one
die.
Seemed to be just for fun.
Most of it seemed for fun.
I think it was to kind of inspire, like, awe. The Jersey. awe and terror through, like, his power.
The chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are the 4 deaths? He kills the first guy with that table. He kills the guy in the car. He kills the guy at the switches for the trains.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he, like, threw 2 search party members over, like, a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe that was after.
One was silent. He made no noise while doing that. And the other was like,
set me free.
He said, at last.
I don't know, maybe that baby he knocked over?
He did knock over, yeah, in the early scene where he's running through the town, amongst many other, like, because it starts out as, like, more lighthearted, like, pranky things.
Yeah,
like, he
knocking glasses
he, like, smacks me with a broom and, like, takes a hat and, like, pushes over a baby carriage, which I guess to me is a little intense. And then it gets, like, worse and worse, where he's, to the point where he's, again, derailing trains.
James Whale loves when children get thrown.
Yeah, he tosses that little girl right in the river or the lake.
She doesn't even really fight for it. She just kind of... You know, she just kind of goes.
She accepts. Jesus.
Ignore that. Hello, Gloria Stewart.
Hello, Gloria Stewart.
Rose saying Jack the whole movie.
Yes, Gloria Stewart is in this movie young.
So gorgeous. I don't care that she... No, I would say she can act. She could act then.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of actresses around that time could get away with not acting.
Right, kind of being, like, pretty and having eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long neck, perhaps. Swan-like. For those that don't know, Gloria Stewart plays old Kate Winslet in Titanic.
Old.
Known as Old Rose. Did we do it? The whole movie.
Oh,
I know what you're thinking. Did we do it?
That is so funny. It's almost, again, that's almost the anniversary of that, too. Are you going to rewatch it this year? Titanic.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah, of course. I haven't watched it in a while, but... There's a 4K of it I need to buy. Any listeners out there want to buy me a 4K?
What if it was like 4D? Like, you got, like, glasses and you're like...
splashing water on you.
Oh my God. Just so stressful.
She's in this movie. She's at, it's the only other thing I think I've seen her in besides Titanic.
Same, yeah.
Which is interesting. These are definitely her two biggest movies for sure.
But I think she's good in there. I mean, she isn't given much to do.
She did what she needed to do.
But she is like, you know, she'd do the, oh, honey, come back home to me thing.
And she's looks good in dresses. Yes, she does a lot of like,
oh. What did he say to her near the end? He was like, I've always loved that hat on you. It's not that, but it's something like that.
I was of the little hat.
That little look at that dumbass okay. hat on your head. You look like shit, girl.
I think it's cute, but okay. interesting. So I'm looking at her filmography. She worked a lot in the 30s, you know, like pumping out movies. And then worked a little bit in the 40s. Did a movie in 1946. And then nothing until 1975 when she started doing TV movies and series. And then kind of bopped around the 70s and 80s. Doing like little things I never heard of. And then stopped being in anything in 89. And then was in Titanic.
Oh my god. And then one.
She said, don't mind me. I'm just going to get a fucking Oscar nomination out of nowhere. And then that's kind of it.
But didn't she get the Oscar post pop? What's the word?
No, she lived until 2010.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, she was there to watch herself lose the Oscar. Sorry, girl.
I thought she won it. That's so funny. Who was she up against? Who won
She lost to Kim Basinger for LA Confidential. It's not a very good performance. It's one of my least favorite like Oscar wins. Okay. It's okay.
But she's great in this as wife on the side.
The Invisible Man and the Visible Woman.
Claude Rains was the Invisible Man.
Oh my god.
Man. Yeah. Rocky Horror Picture
Show. Something went wrong.
Ray and King Kong.
A few things about the opening credits to start from the very beginning.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a scroll of the cast names. It says Claude Rains, and he's credited as the Invisible One in the opening credits. Oh. But then at the end, they do the credits again for the cast, and there it says the Invisible Man.
Wow. Maybe they were like,
he gained something across the runtime.
He gained something.
There also are two actors named Dudley Diggs and Harry Stubbs, which I like because it's like two full sentences, basically.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
And James Whale, it says directed by James Whale, and it's a signature. And I'm like, you fucking queen. You work. He's like, no, I have a really pretty signature. I should put it on screen.
What if it was, I mean, I guess there's no eyes in his name, but if it had like a star to dot the eyes.
That'd be cute. A little heart. There's a lot of flowers in this movie.
Yes. Well, her name was Flora. And was it that, what was the relation with that?
I don't really know. There was that one.
I wonder if.
I don't want to just be, like, gay. But I think some of it is, like, a queer sensibility is, like, let's put some, like, big, beautiful flowers on the screen. We're, like, creating a visual art here. And, like, there's one scene where Gloria Stewart and I think her dad are, like, talking, like, almost through this giant fucking bouquet of flowers. And it's very strange.
Or maybe it's, like, life domestic and, you know.
Femininity. It's, like, go back to where the flowers are, Claude Rains.
Maybe.
Get out of the trees.
Oh.
The dirt.
Get out of the
Hay.
Oh. Hay.
He takes a nap in hay. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you got a nap. You know.
You got a nap?
When you're causing chaos in town. And there's only like 10 policemen, you know.
That's true.
God, they're terrible.
Gloria Stewart's character keeps talking about Jack because the man's name is Jack Griffin.
Amazing.
She literally, contractually, would only do movies.
Shut up.
If the man she was in love with was named Jack.
Sure. Look it up.
Somebody out there name a different Gloria Stewart movie and prove me wrong. I beg of you.
And then tell us the history of inns and taverns, please.
True, please. Yeah, we're signing homework this episode.
I would love to make, like, that, like, or an inn and tavern, like, inspired by, like, I think this place was called the Lion's Head, or, like, inspired by the place in, like, Wicker Man. Like, come on, people. We're missing out on revenue.
I always think of American Werewolf in London, like the
opening. Oh, yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing out there? They're Scottish. I'm not going to do Scottish accent right now. Wow. But they're like, what are you doing out there?
What are you doing out there?
What are you doing out there, boys? And they're like, we're just Americans.
We're just werewolf fun.
That movie's good.
I remember it being fun.
I like it a lot. okay. Anyway, I just love that he's naked the entire movie again.
What do you love about that?
It's just fun to me. I like the idea of people in the 30s. Which I think this is right on the verge of the Hays Code.
Okay.
So, like, I wonder if when it was, like, a deeper, like, censorship era, like, the 40s or 50s, if this wouldn't be allowed. Because, like, again, you see him, you do technically see him strip naked. Because you see that one scene of him taking his clothes off. But, like, you know, you don't say anything, obviously. But the idea, the presupposition is that he's naked for most of this movie.
That's
true. Like, it's just kind of scandalous.
I'm like,
I'm like, what is he doing? You telling me there could be a naked man right outside my window right now?
It is creepy.
A little scary.
Well, then Kemp, what's his name?
Yes. The other scientist.
The other scientist who's like sort of hitting on Gloria Stewart. He gets threatened by Claude Rains. Claude Rains threatens that he's going to kill him specifically the next day at 10 p.m. And Kemp is getting nervous, understandably. And he's like, he could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. He could be in my room hiding. He could be waiting out the window. And I think that's what's so fun about, like, this villain is he truly could be, like, he could be in that corner right now naked with his dick out. And we wouldn't even know, Cody. We would be none the wiser.
I'd love to know.
And none the hornier.
Wow. All right. There's one moment where he's explaining his plot to Kemp of, like, getting power through just terror. And he gives he's this great monologue I have right here.
Yeah. Again, I know I said earlier, the voice acting by Claude Rains is so good. It's so juicy.
I mean, you figure he had to really focus on, it's a physical performance because he's, like, gesturing a lot because he doesn't have his face. Mm. And it has to be really vocal. He probably just, I imagine half the movie he probably recorded after the fact.
Sure, yeah.
If not more.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, "We'll begin with a reign of terror. A few murders here and there. Murders of great men, murders of little men. Well, just to show we make no distinction. I might even wreck a train or two. Just these fingers around a signalman's throat, that's all." Now, the actual signalman, I think he just bonks on the head with a glass vase. So he loses that creativity as he goes along.
He chokes somebody at some point.
He chokes a policeman.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Is that not a man?
Is that not the signal man, the train person.
Oh, you mean? Oh,
you thought you got me.
I was seeing.
You thought you had something.
Well, I was seeing it as he was like, this is my bucket list. So he was just listing different things.
Oh, different buckets.
And he ended up accomplishing that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that he was like, I love the scene where he's explaining like the rules of being invisible to Kemp.
Sure.
And one of them is, the food is visible in me until it's digested. Because he's eating. He's like, we can't go anywhere for a little bit.
For like an hour, he said.
You gotta digest the food.
So funny.
Is it weird that then it turns invisible? I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, that was such a fine detail that I wonder if, like, in the writing process, they were like, wait, but how?
Yeah.
How is he going to eat? But I wanted to see what that would look like.
Me too.
Because he described it as, like, it would just, like, kind of be floating. I don't know.
That's really weird. Just a floating, like, French fry.
Can I watch you
eat? Let me watch it. Open that shirt.
And it was like, I mean, they do see him smoke, and it would be cool if, like, they had the power to make it look like the lungs were inhaling.
Yeah.
But alas. I guess they didn't have CGI in 1933.
Their computers were broken or something.
Yeah, I guess their Macs were down that day.
Just pointing. and then you don't see Claude Rains' face until the very end. I think that's so cool.
Okay, let's talk about it. So So Claude Rains is snoozing in a barn. They hear him snoring, which, I mean, got him.
The farmer's like, so you snore? So they got you. Yeah, the farmer is like, I heard breathing in my barn. And the policemen are like, okay, let's go. They're so excited.
The one time, they're like, that makes total sense.
Yeah. No questions asked. What you just said.
Yes. And it's snowing out, and they...
Well, the more they exist with an invisible man, much like him, they start all going crazy.
Oh.
They become crazy about catching. I mean, he's causing mass destruction.
Right, because they're like, we don't know where he is. So, like, the longer he's alive, like, it's kind of stressful.
Yeah.
But they get him by setting this barn on fire, and they see, like...
Well, the owner watches. I'm like, did they ask him?
They sure as hell did not. But they did say they were going to hook him up with money.
So that's nice. Maybe he has the reward. Yeah.
I'll get three barns. But he comes three out barns. And they end up... Shut up. They end up shooting him, sadly. And next scene is him in, like, the medical ward. And Flora's there, and she's like, I'm here, baby. You can die now. And so... Oh, and that's what it is. The doctor explains, like, the sickness or whatever will die with him.
It's like wearing off.
So once he dies, like, we'll start to see him appear.
Oh, what?
And so we do. I mean, like, he's laying in bed, and we see
so cool.
The skull, and then like some tissue and like the face.
Yes, yes.
It was so cool. Yes.
And there she is.
And, you know, and it was the end of the movie. That was like so, people must have lost their fucking minds. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. So macabre. And just so well done.
And again, if you go to this movie because you're like, oh, Claude Rains, I love his work. You know, you're not going to see him until the very end. And then it's like,
so
finally.
Handsome.
He's so handsome. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, like, finally there he is. That's really cool.
It's the opposite of the Drew Barrymore
Or Scream. Or Psycho, rather. Yeah. Where it's like... Yeah, you said Jan Lee. Got it. Where it's like... Yeah.
We understand each other.
Where you think you are going to watch a Drew Barrymore movie, and it's not a very long Drew Barrymore movie.
You thought.
Oh, you thought?
Oh, you're going to see her guts.
Ooh. So that's The Invisible Man. It's good. Go see it.
Wait, okay, you're screaming.
It might be my favorite. No, Bride of Frankenstein is better, but it might be my second favorite of the Universal Monsters, like the original ones.
Yeah, I really liked it. And it's like great runtime. It was like, what, an hour?
70 minutes? Yeah, not even.
Amazing. It starts right into it. He's, like you said, he's already invisible. He shows up already, like, trying to figure out how to go back to being looking like a person. Mm-hmm. It's just, it moves really well. We do see a cat get sprayed, but other than that...
With, like, paint.
Yeah. But we don't, like, see animals get hurt.
No.
We just see a baby get thrown, but whatever.
You do see a baby get thrown. And hunters die on a train, but...
Yeah, we don't see them.
You don't see them. You hear them.
You hear the screams.
It's like reading a really good horror short story. We're like, that was very effective.
Well, it is based off an H.G. Wells novel, right? Mm-hmm. I kind of want to read it. Me so if so. Anyone has read it, let us know, because I'm curious, you know... Sometimes these films are based on books that are kind of long and a little thick, so yeah, let me know
see.
If it's
let's
one of
see
those.
How thick it is.
I want to know how thick it is.
I want to know how thick is your binding.
Oh my God.
It is...
The Invisible
It's a novel,
Man.
So... Oh! 149 pages.
That's fine.
Girl, we can do this.
All right, I'll look at that. I do want to add, when he is, like, kind of in his, like... full form as the Invisible Man. He has the coat on and his head is wrapped, and it's almost giving like pre like Pinhead because of the white
I see it.
Of the skin, and because the bandage is like hitting his nose in a way where it's like kind of making these sharp angles, and like he has safety pins on the side, and it's like it just looks like sort of human but like slightly off. It's like that thing in your brain where you're like this looks recognizable but something
like
is
uncanny.
Different about it. Yeah. Girl, this got me together. I didn't expect to be so gotten together on this day.
She gagged you.
I got gagged. The Invisible Man, more like...
The visible gag.
The visible...
I don't know.
The visibility of great cinema.
Our listeners are like, you were gone for 2 months and this is what you
got. These are the jokes of comedy. Whatever. It's good to be back, though.
It's good to be back, yes. Thank you for listening. This has been Halloweeners, a horror movie podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HalloweenersPod.
Yeah. You can find me on... you know what? Sure. You can find me on Letterboxd.
Ooh!
Letterboxd.
Brand new.
I know. Hey, Kira, hey. I'm still trying to figure out how to add people. Cody just taught
me.
I'm 1,000 years old. Hey, Kira, hey.
You can find me on Twitter, Letterboxd, Instagram, all that stuff at CodyMonster91. Thank you to Apri Pompei for our theme music. You can follow them at Apri Pompei all over the place, including Spotify.
Leah Patterson does the artwork. You can follow their Substack. It's Leah Bean. It's LIAHBEAN.substack.com. Check out their artwork. It's really fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Claude Rains was the Invisible Man.
And I really got hot when I saw Janet's twat.
Oh! That's funny. Rocky Horror Pictures too. I've yet to see that at midnight, truly.
I know. We should
one day.
Well, yeah, we'll chug Red Bulls.
Maybe in our 40s.
That'd be kind of iconic, yeah, let's
do it.
And we'll be like, you kids don't even know. That's
when like, pick up you didn't know. You weren't there when I was.
You don't even know, girl. We're 30. Goodbye.